My guest at this time is Clifford May. He is the president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We turn to him as Congress debates a number of thorny issues related to the president's plan for battling the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. And Cliff, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be with you.
A couple of things the administration is asking of Congress. Number one, and this is being debated in the House here on Wednesday, is funds for the arming and training of moderate Syrian rebels. There's been a lot of debate about whether there exists such a group of moderate Syrian rebels and whether we can accurately identify them without our money and our arms getting into the wrong hands somehow. What's your read on that?
Well, first, it would have been a lot better if we had been doing this 3.5 years ago. At that time, there had been protests, very peaceful protests against Assad. Assad cracked down very brutally. I think there were clearly what I would call nationalist forces that needed our help. As you may remember, General Petraeus, Leon Panetta, Hillary Clinton, others all suggested that these forces be assisted. President Obama said no. They've been orphaned for a long time, so they're substantially weakened. I would hope that in the meantime, over these past 3.5 years, the CIA has done a lot of vetting and knows who our real friends are. And I think if they have some, sure, give them some weapons. Be careful which weapons. Monitor carefully how do they utilize them. Right now, the Islamic State, which I think is the name they use and the name I'll use rather than ISIS or ISIL, has a lot of American weapons they've taken away from the Iraqi army. They did that in part because we left Iraq prematurely rather than leaving a residual force. So I would say the least of the mistakes that have been made and may be made is to identify those who we think share our interests and some of our values, and if they will fight against our common enemies, it's probably worth doing.
The thorny issue here, of course, among others, I'm sure, is the fact that these moderate Syrian rebels, if you want to call them the Free Syrian Army, as well as the Islamic State, are in some ways allies in trying to take down the Assad regime. So if we arm them, if we fund them, is their number one goal going to be to take out the Islamic State, or is it going to be to use that to take down Assad, which in some way emboldens the Islamic State?
This is why this game has to be seen not as checkers, but as chess and maybe three-dimensional chess. It is not as simple as saying the enemy of my enemy is my friend in most cases in the Middle East, and certainly in this case, the enemy of my enemy remains our enemy. We need more than tactics, more than giving weapons. We need a strategy, and that strategy should be to weaken, or to use Obama's phrase, to degrade and ultimately destroy all our enemies in this region, all of the various rival jihadi forces. The last thing we would want, for example, would be to be fighting the Islamic State as the air force of the Islamic Republic of Iran. That would be a mistake. So this calls for a lot more than a simple decision and a simple arming of one group or another. It calls for a strategy against the global movement of jihadism. We should have had one years ago. We certainly should have one tomorrow. I wish the administration would get working on it.
The president has promised again and again that there will be no U.S. Forces in direct ground combat operations. There are already over 1,000 on the ground in advisory capacity. In terms of where we stand with our policy on that, we had General Dempsey on the Hill just yesterday saying that, well, if the circumstances warrant it, yeah, we're going to have ground forces in combat. The president says that's not the case. So ultimately, what's the policy going to be?
Don't know, and I'm not sure the administration knows. I think that as we're talking about a larger strategy what is going to be, has already been, and will be a very long war, it should resemble the Cold War more than World War II, by which I mean, among other things, we should be supporting proxy forces who will do most of the fighting for us. That said, you should never tell your enemy what you won't do. There's no strategic benefit gained from that, even if there's some political benefit. So if Obama mainly wants U.S. forces supporting Iraqi forces, I certainly agree with that. That is a good thing to do. But don't tell the enemy. And by the way, once again, I would say, had we left residual forces in Iraq, not pulled them out prematurely, it would be much easier to support those Iraqi forces today. They would have been stronger. They would have lost fewer battles. And they wouldn't have given up so much equipment to the Islamic State.
We also hear the president speak regularly in the past several days about leading a broad coalition. I think a number thrown around today was in some way 40 different nations are assisting. But in his testimony on Capitol Hill this afternoon, Secretary of State John Kerry says no one has been asked and no one has offered to provide ground forces. Is that to be expected at this early stage, or does that trouble you?
Well, it troubles me. It is a paper coalition to date. I'm not sure other than rhetorical support, what we're actually going to get. Actually, money would be a help from places like Saudi Arabia. I think we should look into some financing for this effort. But we also know, most distressingly, that certain of the most important actors in that region, say Turkey, a NATO ally, is refusing to help. We have an air base there that was built by Americans and is largely staffed by Americans in Sirlik. The Turks have said they're not going to let us use it to fight the Islamic State. And the Turks also are not helping us crack down on the illicit oil sales of the Islamic State. It's seized oil wells. It's taking the oil. It's selling them illegally. Turkey's not helping on that. So it's a very, very shaky coalition at best. We don't want Assad in it. He is the client of Iran. We don't want Iran in it, though Iran is fighting the Islamic State. This is why we need a complex strategy. This is why it's tough, and this is why the idea of the coalition is sort of fanciful at this moment.
Last question, we'll let you go. Does this president need Congress to authorize the use of force again? That's a big issue of debate also today on the Hill.
I don't think the administration needs Congress for this purpose. I think it would be useful to have Congress for this purpose. I think a new, revised, broader authorization for the use of military force, AUMF, is something the president should want. It's something Congress should want to provide, and it should set out who it is we're fighting. And again, I think we're fighting not just the Islamic State, not just Al-Qaeda. We're fighting the various regimes, movements, and the ideology of jihadism, which has been fighting us since 9/11, really fighting us since the 1979 Islamic Revolution that created the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is now attempting to develop nuclear weapons that it intends to use one way or another in future battles with us. We need to understand the problem. It's a large problem, and we need to begin to solve it. We haven't really got very far on this road so far.
Everywhere you look in the region, it's a mess. Cliff, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Clifford May is president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.